And welcome to all of you here today. Now, I think that for those here last week, you'll remember that it was either little Olivia or Bristol, which one of them was it that was walking up that way, and I grabbed her and brought her over here. Wasn't quite sure what to do with her, little baby in my hands, you know. And, I joked about not having a whole bunch of experience there, and I don't. You know, I don't have kids, and I do have nieces and nephews, though, and, been around children, so I picked up a thing or two. But, it's a learning process. Everybody knows that. And I remember one of the first opportunities I had to be in charge of a child being, and that was when our nephew came and visited us in Boston. This is way back when. Every year, it's way back when, in fact. And he was 6 at the time. I think he's like 15 or 16 now or something like that. And he stayed with us, and he just thought it was great. I mean, it was neat being in the big city. And of course, he had a younger brother and sister, so for the fact that he could come stay with Aunt Amelia and Uncle Brian, I mean, that was, by himself, that was pretty cool. And, Amelia and I had different ways of, talking with Polly, lessons from my own father, of course, stuck in, so I sort of feel like young boys need, some sort of structure in their life and that they appreciate that. And so I would provide that structure, and Amelia would say, "Well, I think you're being a little harsh on him." And I said, "No, I'm just teaching him that when he stops at the intersection, he has to stop and he has to wait for me. And it's not till I get there that he can cross. These are important lessons you have to learn." I don't know. I also am the same guy that at the very end of his visit was bribing him with cookies to get out of bed because we needed to get to work. And so disciplinarian I was not. But there is this one moment, and it's not really the highlight of any sort of, parenting skills that I learned, but it's appropriate for today's scripture reading. And there was one moment when he was up playing on some rocks. We were out by the shore, and he was playing on some rocks. Now, granted, it was late at night. I probably had him up later than he was supposed to be, blah, 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 etc. Somehow it all does come back to me. But at any rate, I said to him, "Polly, you need to come down off of those rocks because you're going to hurt yourself." "No, I won't. No, I won't, Uncle Brian. No, I won't." "Yep, Polly, you need to listen to me. You need to come off of those rocks because you're going to fall." "No, no, I'm fine. No, 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 no." "Polly, you need to listen to me." "No, no, I'm fine." Slip, bam. And then some tears. Now, it's not my finest moment, but one might think, of course, I would just run over to him and cuddle him in my arms and say, "It's okay, buddy." Maybe now that I've been a pastor for 7 years, I would do that. But at the time, I said to him, "See, Polly, I told you you would fall. That's why you need to listen to Uncle Brian." I thought it was a teaching moment. Amelia did not agree. But I bring that story up because it fits so well with our scripture. Now, even then, had he just been on some rocks and I hadn't noticed or whatever, or they seemed safe and he fell and hurt himself, I certainly would be right over there comforting him. That's an unfortunate thing. But of course, the reason I didn't do that immediately is because I had told him 3 times what would happen, and he chose not to listen. And therefore, the lesson, whether it was appropriate to a 6-year-old or not, was that we have to listen to things because there's sometimes consequences when we don't. And that's what our passage today is from Proverbs. The wisdom passage is basically God saying that to us. We're the 6-year-old on the rock saying, "No, no, everything's fine. No, no, it doesn't matter that I do this." And this is the voice of God through wisdom that is saying, "I have told you what you need to do. If you choose not to listen, don't expect me to feel sorry for you." That's a tough thing to hear. It's a tough reading, especially, when we are so much about forgiveness and acceptance. And, that being said, afterwards, I did feel bad for Polly and gave him a hug and stuff like that. And so, I think that despite our wisdom reading, that there is forgiveness and acceptance, even if we haven't bothered to listen, even if we're doing things that are going to cause us trouble, and we know they're going to cause us trouble, and we do them anyway, there is still forgiveness and acceptance after that. But the point of it, for at least today, for my sermon, is that we are offered glimpses by God, through wisdom, through whatever, through people, of what is best for us in our lives and what's not. We don't walk through life completely unaware of the things that are going to lead to better consequences for us and the things that are going to lead to worse consequences. I would also argue we know what's best for ourselves, for making ourselves happy. Eventually, I mean, you know, I'm only 37, and I've figured some of this out. So I know you guys, most of you, know what I'm talking about. We know the things that we do to ourselves. We know the habits that we have that inevitably don't make us happy. You know, prime example for me, which you guys have witnessed throughout my ministry here, is overeating. You know, I know that you know, urge to stuff my face just because I'm stressed out about something in the long run isn't going to bring me happiness. It'll take away my mind for that tiny little bit, and then I'll have to deal with health consequences and all this other stuff and just plain being uncomfortable because I did that. And I know it. I know it in my mind. But how do I move beyond knowing it and moving into actually doing that in my life? How do I become focused on improving who I am? You know, we have our Mark scripture passage, and something that I actually talked about in Bible study for Mark is that one of the themes that we see that appears in Mark is that Jesus is a good disciple himself to God. That what we see in Mark is that the thing that Jesus does mostly is that Jesus follows God's will, even if it leads him into dangerous and unsafe places. And this is what some of this carrying the cross business is. That doing God's will isn't always necessarily what we want to do, but we know that it's better for us and for the world around us. And Jesus exemplifies this in Mark. And so in our Mark passage, we have Jesus, and he's talking to the disciples. And of course, you know, all the disciples are asking, he's asking the disciples, all of them, you know, who do people say I am? And this is really a test in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't think Jesus was, you know, really, you know, looking for what people were saying on Facebook about him or anything like that. You know, Jesus was trying to say to them, you know, what's going on in the world around here? What is the view that other people have of me? And more importantly, is that a view that you share? And of course, some people thought he was John the Baptist. Some people thought he was Elijah that comes back. But Peter knows. And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And of course, Peter's correct. And then Jesus goes on to say what will happen to him. And that's a hard thing to hear. It's a hard thing for Peter. Because all the disciples love Jesus. But Jesus knows what is coming before him. And so, from a place of fear, from a place of not wanting this to happen, from a place of wanting to always be able to be with Jesus, to just, you know, run around the countryside, healing people and casting out demons, isn't that good enough? Can't we just do that and preach God's message and have that be enough? It's a nice, safe, comfortable place. Out of that, Peter says, no, 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 that's not going to happen. And Jesus rebukes him, and not only rebukes him strongly, I mean, it's kind of like Paulie on the rocks and me, you know, but he rebukes him and says, Satan, get away. That this want that you have, this desire for everything to be simple, for everything to be kind of the way you want it, doesn't come from God. It comes from yourself. It comes from humanity. And I think that's true. Oftentimes, we have feelings and stressors. You know, another one for me is I'll be driving down the road, So I'm a little bit of a worrier, believe it or not. Not that I'm the only one in the church, but I'll be driving down the road, and oh, just a beautiful day. There's birds flying all around. The sun's gorgeous, you know, clouds. It just couldn't be better. And I'm worrying about some silly thing that might not ever, probably won't ever happen. And I'm sitting here worrying about it. And I catch myself because I'm like, here's God providing me all this beauty in front of me, and I'm obsessing about some dumb thing that's not even going to happen and missing all of it in the process. And why am I doing that? Because of a human feeling, because of fear, fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of the fact that I don't have control. In all of those fears lead me astray and make me miss all of the beauty around me. And if I could merely trust in God, something I've talked about once or twice, if I could just trust in God, then I could push those things aside and see the gift that God has given me in my life. And so when we talk about being stuck, when we talk about moving beyond these habits that we know aren't good for us, a first starting point is trusting in God. And we see this in our Mark passage. Jesus says, you must lose yourself. Don't be so caught up in what you're worried about. Lose yourself. Trust in God and follow me. Follow God. That is how you trust in God, is by following where God is leading you. And sometimes that's going to mean challenges in your life. Sometimes that's going to mean burdens and crosses you carry. But I guarantee you that it will lead you to a better place. It will lead you to a happier place. It'll lead you to a place that is actually worthwhile in your life. As Jesus says, if you have everything in the world but lose your life, in other words, lose who you are, have no happiness, have no contentment in life, it's worth nothing. But if you follow Jesus, if you follow the path that God has given you, even if it's just one little thing, even if it's just one drive back where you, you know, say, I'm not going to worry about this, even if it's spending more time doing the things that you know are important with the people that you know are important, every one of those little steps is a step along the path that God has for you. It's a step out of that place that you are stuck in. And every little step added together is a journey, and a journey to God, with God. If you go there, you will truly know happiness. If you go there, you will truly know salvation. If you go there with God, all will be well. Know that and believe that, and move out of any place that's keeping you from it. Amen.